God does what God wants to do whenever God wants to do it. Besides the other testimonies, I have one myself. I have stolen something right in here for almost a year. And then some things happened. Pablo was a miracle took place, and some different things have taken, happened. And one night, before I went to bed, I put my hand on Alexis. I prayed that God would heal it. It's gone. It's been there a year. It's gone. You know what the thing is? I prayed, but I don't know that I expected it. God does what God does when God does what, you know what I mean? And He's in charge. And I have a scripture here. It's in the 20th chapter of Matthew in the 16th verse. It says, "So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen." What does that mean? Well, let me tell you, that opened up this scripture. It just came to me the other day, and it opened up a whole new realm of understanding. I have been satisfied over the years to be among the called. The church basically is interested in the called. Let's call them in. And it doesn't matter the condition, just let's call them in. God accepts whoever's coming in, does He? I mean, isn't the gate wide and the path broad? And I mean, isn't that the way that it is? Well, in Matthew 7:14 is the one that says that, straight is a gate, narrow is a path and straight is a gate or something. And few there be that find it. And then here it says, many are called, but few are chosen. And it dawned on me. Something has happened to us. And something has happened to me over the years. And I'll tell you what it is. And you'll agree with me. But we have decided to not be satisfied with the call. I want to be one of the chosen. Do you follow what I'm saying? I want to be one of the chosen. I want on a day when we stand before Him, I want Him to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Not, "Depart from me, you are a worker of iniquity." I don't want to hear that. And so, today's church basically goes after the call. They're called. They're called out. Isn't that called out once? Well, of course they're called out. But just because they're called out doesn't mean that they end up being chosen. That's the point we need to understand. And so, in John 15:7, it says, "If you abide in me," Christ speaking, "and my word abides in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done." Well, anyway, I have sung a song for years concerning that verse, except not that verse, a rendition of that verse. And in the song we sung, "Trust and obey, believe and then say, I believe, I believe. And whatsoever you ask, it shall be done." Remember we sang that? Only that, what we sang was not actually accurate according to the scripture. Because the first part of it is, Jesus said, "If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, then you can ask what you will." But up to that point, it's a gamble. And so, what's going to happen as a result of a people abiding in Him and in His Word? And then the other thing is, how do you abide in Christ if you have the wrong identity of it? If you don't know, even know who he is?
That's a problem.
It is a problem. How could I abide in Christ over the years when I'm thinking of him as deity? Because I have been taught the way that I was taught, my mental concept of things and my image and what inside of me put him in a category where he isn't. That's not who he is. So eternal life is to know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Well, what if we don't have, you see, the church basically doesn't have a clue as to the identity of either one. So when Jesus says, God is spirit, that is not really an image that most churchgoers have. And you know, until I started listening to the scriptures and saw that scripture in John 4:24, it didn't register, and one day it registered. One day I saw it. God is spirit. God is spirit. God is spirit. No man has seen him because he's spirit. But the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He's revealed him. He expressed him. He brought so that we have understanding of God's identity and nature. But Jesus is man. And one of you guys, I don't know, was telling me about a statement by Gilbert Olson that he says that up until the Gentiles, you know, in the second century or so forth, got involved, we had one God. It was a couple hundred years after the Bible was written or after Christ that there was anything, any idea of a Trinity or even making Jesus a God. He was a man. In the Old Testament, he was a man. In the New Testament, he's a man. He was a man until Constantine, until early church, which is Gentile, made him into a deity. And anyway, so how important is it then? We're beginning to get to understand this. And so, okay, so here we are. Here I am. And that the Bible says that Jesus is a man. I know that. I'm going to stick with it. That's who I am. And what we have left here, that's who you are. Once you know what the Word of God says, you're going to hang to it. And anyway, that eternal life hinges on it. This is life eternal. That they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's what eternal life is. Do we want that? Do we want to be the chosen, or do we want to just be satisfied for being called? All right, do you follow what I'm saying? It took me a while. I don't know if you're really understanding the impact of this thing, but I don't want to be just called. But some people are happy to be called. You know what I think about those Matthew 7 people? He said, many will come to me in that day and they will say, well, we did this, Lord, we did. I think they were called. Yes. Did you follow me? They were the called. But they were too interested in the signs and the wonders and the glory and the positions. I'm going to say this very respectfully and very carefully, but I know people who have been determined that they needed to have the word pastor in front of their name. They had to have it. And it's like, why? He that would be the greatest, let him become the least. And you know what minister means? It's somebody that And it helps other people. They serve other people. You minister to other people. That's what a minister is. But somehow we've lost all this, so the minister is the elevated man, somebody. And he's not. He's not supposed to be. And so people want position. And I tell you, I'm familiar with it. I'm really familiar with these things. I'm, you know what? I'm not without things to say, but I tell you what, I woke up a couple of days ago and I had a kink in my neck, and I still got it. So if you see me go like that, that's because I can't bend my neck.
I can yank on your neck if you'd like.
Pardon?
I can yank on your neck if you'd like.
Well, after a while. But anyway, I tell you what, Pablo, after your little incident, I'm not so sure that that's not a demon. I'm not so sure of it.
A few days ago, I bought Eli a masking rod. For those listening, the mask is a fish. And you know, so you cast these big baits, and a brand new one, bait was going, it was good, but then after an hour, it was going, every time you spin it. It was working good. It was working, no issues no issues in the performance. It was just, and it was getting worse and whatever. I said, well, Eli, I got the receipt. We'll go exchange it. No big deal. And after a while, it stopped making the noise. I'm like, oh, I guess Eli, your reel is not making noise anymore. I said, no. Good. So we don't have to go exchange it. Yeah. I said, oh, okay, whatever. And I prayed about it, he said. I suppose, you know what I mean? Just pray for your, why not? You know, Eli is like that. He's very much like that. When he was a kid, you know, maybe 5 years ago or so, Dominic and Eli were going to go someplace. It was dark. And Dominic is like, well, I'm kind of afraid of going in the dark. And Eli says, well, I believe that there's a God, he says. And that's how Eli is got that in him. And one day we were fishing for salmon, and some big fish. It was obvious it was a big fish. We couldn't see him, but I mean the line was coming out of the reel super fast. I mean, it was obvious. So I grabbed it, I got it all set up for him, and as soon as I hand him the rod, he's like, thank you, Jesus. So Eli prays, you know, he's a praying man, which is good. Anyways, many are called, few are chosen. You know, how many times we think, you know, look at all these people that are coming to the Lord, whatever. And we're just telling Candy, like, about the same thing, you know. Yeah, there's people coming to the Lord. I'm like, no. They're more like coming to church and coming to. They're just basically being Martha's sister or brother, you know. And but there is Martha's that are chosen, though. You know what I mean? There's, you know, there's no rule of thumb for God. You know. I get up here, and you guys get up here, and we talk to people. So, you know, Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you man catchers. You know, the scripture says fishers of men, but the translation is, you know, a fisherman is a fish catcher. And so, follow me, and I will make you man catchers. And how do you catch man? To be a true man catcher or a chosen catcher, you know what I mean? Not a called catcher, to be a chosen catcher. You have to present truth. And sometimes I'm guilty of this. Sometimes I think, well, you know, Lord, let me present some signs and wonder. Let me pray for someone and let's see a miracle, so they can believe. And we know, you know, Lazarus and whatever. It's a miracle is not going to cause you to have faith. Show us a sign, says someone to Jesus. Says, an adulterous and perverse generation seeks after a sign. There's a scripture in John, Gospel of John 6. And I'm not 100% sure who he's talking to, but it doesn't matter an awful lot, I don't think. John 6:35, anyways. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me come to me, and the one who comes to me I will not by no means cast out. Jesus is saying to whoever he is saying this, you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. And here I am, asking so I can have a miracle to make a believer out of someone. So I'm thinking, well, here's the disciples also, whoever. Jesus is doing the most miracles that I've known anybody ever done. Miracle after miracle after miracle. And they've seen him and they do not believe. And I thought to myself for a little bit, well, yeah, it's because the miracles alone is not going to make him a believer. But you know what? Jesus wasn't only doing miracles. He was also preaching the word. So I'm like, what is going on? What is going on? So it's because there was no faith. Faith is what you need. And Jesus wasn't Jesus doesn't exaggerate. He doesn't say one thing for another. Jesus tells his disciples, he's like, you faithless and perverse generation, to the disciples. And he wasn't, again, he wasn't exaggerating or trying to teach him a lesson or bluffing. Jesus doesn't do this. Disciples, you are faithless and you are perverse. And in a way, it's a good thing for me, because, you know, parenthesis, if I was doing anything, think of anything that you are doing and you need help with, I think the disciples would be the last person I would have me help, because they were not good at anything, really. They were just goofy, or which it makes it good for me, because you know what? Jesus, he chose this. He chose this 12, and one of them was a devil. He chose this 11, let's say. And they were faithless and they were perverse. And I am so glad that he said that, because I blend right in with those disciples. I blend right in. If you would have said, man, disciples, man, you're full of faith, you're so perfect, like, I'll be like, now what? But I'm glad, you know, and you think, well, they're seeing miracles. They're listening to the word out of God's mouth. Faithless, but, you know, but eventually, so faith is what we need to bring to people that we want to talk to. And this sign should follow those that believe. You know, this and this and this and that. So, first you believe, then you have signs. Don't have signs so you can make a believer. Make a believer, and then you will have signs. You know, this is super difficult for me to explain or say without sounding bad. But John 3:16, you know, that's all. The word that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So we present that. And churches present that. Oh, if you just believe in Jesus, so everybody, we got full of people. Everybody believes in Jesus. You know what? The definition of believing in Jesus is not in the dictionary. It's a different setup. There's got to be faith. There's got to be love. And faith is something that you could probably get it automatically, but faith is something that you build only by God's word. Mm-hmm. Only by God's word. The disciples tell Jesus, they're talking about faith. And then the disciples knew, though, they said, increase our faith. Jesus, increase our faith. I think we need to ask to have our faith increased. I am comfortable saying that I need to have my faith increased. I'm not ashamed to say that I'm not a 100% faithful man. I have no shame. I would have shame saying the opposite. I have no shame saying that I need more faith, because the disciples, they had Jesus right there. You know, Father, increase our faith. And I believe that as soon as we know that when we bring God's word to someone so they could become a believer, let's say, when we understand that faith comes by hearing of God's word, but not by seeing anything, I really believe that then God is there's going to be miracles following, for real. For when we fully understand that these miracles and these signs are not going to cause someone to believe, but it's faith. When you present faith, all of a sudden, I believe that God is going to use that faith to say, yeah, we'll have a miracle, we'll have some, but that's not going to take away attention or whatever. Let's just focus on God's word. And, you know, and yes, you know, miracles are our attention grabber. You know, they will get people's attention. But then that's how some one of the called ones, just like somebody that's been called. And, you know, anyway, so faith. Anyways, I had a funny dream. After all this was in my mind, I had a dream, and there was this small thing of water, and it was dark, but I could see this fish, and I said, man, it's a fish there, so I drop a line right in the fish's mouth, and boom, catch a fish, and it's a huge, huge crappie, which is weird, that fish is a crappie, it's a big, the biggest crappie I ever caught, and one after another, the biggest crappie ever, and then I forgot about the dream or whatever, but then as I was driving in my truck, all of a sudden, I have this thought about, and I'm like, because I had this man catcher thing, fishes of man thing in my mind, and then I had this dream. I thought, well, is it a dream from God, you know, saying that eventually we will catch for real, you know, not just go after the call, not calling, but just the chosen ones, you know what I mean? I don't know if it's a dream from God either way or not. Regardless, faith, you know, I personally, again, I'm right with the disciples, so I'm faithless and perverse generation. But I'm asking, you know, Father, increase my faith. You know, Jesus, increase my faith. You know, I believe, help my unbelief. You know, that's not all. In Luke Luke 9:39. This is a situation, and this situation is in Matthew and Mark also. I'm not 100% sure if it's the same situation because it's presented so different with so many different details. It could be a different situation, but either way, I'm just going to stick with the 9:39, which is a little shorter, and it just shows what I want to say. Luke 9:39, it could be less, before 39, but okay. You know, Jesus is, you know, someplace. And he says, on 9:38, says, suddenly, a man from the multitude crowds outside saying, "Teacher, I implore you to look on my son, for he's my only child. And behold, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out, convulses him, so that he foams at the mouth, and it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him. So I implore your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Then Jesus answered and said, and this has nothing to do with what I was saying before, but this is what he says. "O faithless and perverse generation, how shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." And as the son was still coming, the demon threw him down. You know, the person was just fine, but when he's coming to Jesus, and when he was coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him. Then Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the majesty of God. And Jesus, the disciples, "Why couldn't we do it? You know, because of your unbelief," and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he says, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Anyways, so we know about a spirit, you know. Jesus says, when a spirit is cast out, he goes out seeking rest. He goes out in dry places and whatever. He says, "I'm going to return to my house." And when he returns, you know, if he says he's clean, he comes up with seven more demons. So there's a circumstance when a demon dwells in a body, you know, because it's the demon's house. But in this occasion that comes out only by prayer and fasting, is different. This is not a demon that lives in the house. This demon, I don't know where he's living, but he's not living in the person. I'm going to read it again now, emphasizing what I wanted to show. "And behold, a spirit seizes him." So this spirit is not in the person. This spirit is in the air, I'm going to say, for lack of understanding. This spirit is in the air, and it seizes him. Convulses him, so he departs of the mouth. So he foams at the mouth, and it departs from him with great difficulty and bruising him. So this is a spirit someplace. All of a sudden, there's a person, goes in, boom. Convulses him, foam at the mouth, and then it departs. So the spirit is not in the person. This is a different situation. But Jesus, now listen with Jesus. Jesus did two things here. Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and gave him back to his father. So Jesus came to heal the sick and cast out demons. So some people were healed, and some people other were cast out demons. This specific situation is a double. But the father said, "My son has my daughter, my boy." He says, "Has a spirit." He never said he was sick. So Jesus healed the child. So what am I trying to say? And I don't really know if this is helpful for us for when we pray or not, or if it makes any difference. I'm just saying what I'm seeing. I don't know if it's useful, we'll use it. If it's not useful, it's not useful. But a person, this epileptic, obviously is an epileptic, has a sickness. If he went to the doctor will x-ray him or take blood work and say, "You're out of balance, something is wrong with your nerve system or your blood. You have a sickness." On paper, you have a sickness, and if you cut him open, there's a bad area in the person's body. There's a sickness. He's sick. But this sickness is a opening for some reason for this spirit to seize him. Because Jesus had to do both things. He had to heal the sick and cast out the demons. So this sickness, this spirit that is wandering in some place, comes in and it's a door. This door is a door for this spirit to torment him. And then he leaves. The sickness is still there. So in some situations, we need to pray for a spirit. I don't know. Jesus said he cast them out, but we need to cast them out. Out of where? I don't know what. Out from around the person? I don't know. Cast them out and pray for healing. There's a healing that needs to happen in this situation. And this is the epileptic, but this is like, you know, with a, you know, bipolar person or whatever. It's the same thing. You have a sickness of some sort, and you know, and then the spirit comes, boom, it grabs you and it makes you act weird, you know. So, anyways, I just wanted to show that there's a difference. There's a spirit that dwells in a body, in a person, and you cast them out. But there's also a different kind of situation. That there's a spirit that does not dwell in the body because it comes in and it departs. Comes in and it departs. Comes in and it departs. So I just wanted to bring that out, and I don't know if it will be helpful or not from when we pray or not. I just thought I would bring that to light.
Statement, and then whoever wants to hop in, but you know, that scripture that said that many are called, but few are chosen. I thought of a scripture I was sitting there where Jesus said, "You have not chosen me; I have chosen you." And I think that fits.
As confirmation, about 3 or 5 minutes before, Keith said, "I think those called are the." I had the same thought. I went, you know, yeah, the called ones, but they missed it because they weren't the chosen. And you know that there's the same thing with the virgins. All of them were called, but only half were chosen to go into the wedding feast. You know. Well, I tried to write down some things. I haven't been here for a couple of weeks, but I shared some stuff Sunday night, and I'm going to repeat some of it because not everybody's always there and stuff. But, what Paula was saying, it's like I thought, you know, but if the chosen see a miracle, it'll have an effect. If the called see it, it may or may not. Or it will for a time, but then they lose it, you know. I was looking for some things, and I went to the end of Matthew. I was thinking there was something there like the virgins, but it's not. It was, and I read this, and I've never seen this before. And it goes along with what was being brought. Now it says, in Matthew 28:16, then the 11 disciples, which we would say chosen, I would think, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, now listen, this is crazy. This is right before he's going to ascend. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Did you ever see this? But some doubted. You saw it. So, you know, don't write anything off. You know? It's exactly what Pablo was bringing is, yeah, I'm part of the faithless, perverse generation, you know? Especially right now. You know, don't hope to stay there, though. Ever since I'd heard the testimony about Pablo being prayed for and a sickness being healed, I was listening and I heard this verse in Acts 10. And it says in Acts 10:38. Well, first let me read that. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So, yeah. I mean, being oppressed by the devil, well, however that is. Could be with a demon in you or just, you know, whatever. You know, the whole key to that whole thing about figuring it out, it's like, I don't want to try to sit and figure out now which one I want to, you know, what we need to be doing, I feel, it's just my opinion, is every time we go to pray, we need to pray that God would give us discernment, wisdom, and knowledge in what we're praying. And when we start having faith to believe He will give us that, it will make things a whole lot clearer. And you'll have an anointing that's precise, you know. It's not going to happen at maybe all at once, or it might. It's up to God. God does however He wants, you know. And I don't want to put limitations, and I don't want to say, well, He's got to do it now, because if He doesn't want to, He won't, you know. But last week or so, I had some things happen, and crazy how this happens, you know. You can be kind of just, you know. I'd heard, and I don't know if it's true, so, you know, forgive me if you're listening. But I heard that a comment made by, this is age. All of a sudden my mind went blank on the name. Your daughter that was here. Shelley. Felt dry, you know. And I was thinking, yeah, I know, I relate to that. Boy, I relate to that. And I thought, you know, but there was this thing kind of that God had to have stirred that said, so what are you going to do? You know, or you know, now a lot of times I know you just have to wait and go through those things. Well, evidently, God was ready to do a little something with that. And all of a sudden I thought, and I had a situation happen where I met somebody and found out some things about him, and it just, all of a sudden, there was a small, and I'm going to say small, burden put on my heart that I needed to pray for that person. Because it's like, of someone that could have lots of things wrong, they had lots of things working against them. And, you know, I'm going to put it that way. And being with them one time for a little bit, there was, you know, I saw some manifestations, but I think back and I think I probably had some too at the same time. And but then I found out, you know, that one of the things is they had a tumor. And it just, I don't know why, I just got put on my heart. I wanted to pray for just to set that person free, have them healed. And so I said, I'm going to do that. Well, I don't remember how all this went in order, but then the one morning I get up and I'm sitting in my, recliner, and all of a sudden I start praying in tongues, and I just kept praying, and it was just, it's weird for this one time, it was like I was hearing my voice, and it was like it was comforting, it was like having a conversation kind of, it just went along and it just flowed, it wasn't like, shouting things or anything. It was just a nice language that was just edifying. I guess that's, you know. And I don't know how long I prayed. Longer than probably I have ever, I don't know, in tongues. And I've been doing that a lot since, you know. But it, so, and I got thinking, you know, and then I was reading how, the question came up in my mind. You know, somebody could argue, well, Jesus never spoke in tongues. No, He didn't have to. He was already full of the Spirit and the fullness of the image, the fullness of God. But how do we get there? Jesus said, well, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you this gift that's going to help you get to where I was. And that's the way it struck me. And it became all of a sudden a lot more important. Because I was thinking now, so you had the disciples standing there on this mount and some doubted. You know what? In the upper room, after that gift fell, I don't think they doubted anymore. You know? Now maybe later, like all of us, we doubt, you know, because we're humans. But it's like, so, and then, you know, when Cornelius and their household, and they were filled, and I started thinking, well, maybe the called get the gift. I don't know, because I don't know who is and who isn't. But what came to me was one thought that said, well, if you just kind of want it, or if it comes great, you won't get it. As far as I can see. Now, God is merciful and knows every heart. But if you really want the gift, you'll seek it, and God will give it. And then maybe that's, you know, that might need to be qualified by some of you, might get something different from that or whatever. But that's what I felt, you know, it's like, because if you see that that is a step to getting you to the being filled with, having the image of God, you know, to, and being full of the fullness and full of the Spirit, maybe it'll make that intensity grow, you know. I don't know if that's exactly where I was when I asked, but I know when I asked, first of all, I asked amiss because I was trying to prove to somebody I had something or was going to get something they didn't have, and I had to repent. And I asked the Lord, you know, when I didn't get it, this is this thing where it's kind of like asking for discernment. I went, Lord, okay, I asked, and you didn't give it to me. What's the deal? I mean, you know, I know. And all of a sudden, I got the Spirit just convicted me of why I was praying for it first, to show somebody else that didn't have it. And I repented. And I prayed again, and I got it. You know, because I did, I wanted it because it, and at the time my thinking was, well, if this is a gift of God and He's giving gifts, shouldn't I want that? And I went, yeah, I do want that. I want that. You know, so whatever. That just, hopefully that might, you know, create a faith building fact and whatnot. And don't give up, anyone who's seeking. And then Keith kind of mentioned, I had read that Gilbert, is that his name? Gilbert's little booklet that we had. And I thought, isn't it ironic, and I'm kind of repeating what Keith, because Keith brought it up, but ironic that we, Gentiles, who are grafted in, not of the original, decided that we knew the Godhead better than the Jews. When all through the Old Testament, God explicitly explained, proclaimed who He was. One God. Only one God. No other God besides me. I'm the God that created everything. I'm the God that makes everything happen. I am one God. That is continually pronounced to the Jews. Now, I thought, so, they didn't, obviously, they didn't bring the doctrine of the, even the ones that were born again and you know, accepted Jesus Christ, they didn't change the doctrine of the Godhead. But there was many that were presented with the gospel that couldn't see it, couldn't receive it. And I thought, you know, I read one little spot where it said, you know, well, when the Christ comes, we won't know where He is from. Well, if they'd have heard their own words, because they said no prophet can come out of Galilee, he's supposed to come out of Bethlehem. Didn't they hear the report of the angels and the wise men going to see Jesus? No, you know what? I don't think that got spread everywhere. Or they went, nah, that can't be. That's just somebody's dream or figment of their imagination or whatever. So they wrote it off, you know? So this, I too saw that a distinction where I thought, you know, I used to always say, I know I have a calling on my life. And then all of a sudden one day I went, read that scripture. It says, but few are chosen. Oh, man, I'm not going to keep bragging about that anymore. You know? But I definitely want to be the chosen. So so in that process, you know, because one of the things I said, you know, one of the ways, if you're dry, kind of sometimes you're probably dwelling on yourself a lot, maybe, you know. And I thought, how do you get out of that? You pray for somebody else. You put the needs of somebody else in front of yours, you know. And I am just barely touching that, believe me. I mean, just remotely. You know, and when I say a burden, it's not... If I really had a burden, I'd probably be 6 hours a day in prayer. I don't know. You know, whatever. But there is a burden there. And it's a beginning. And I want it to develop, you know. And I wasn't also convinced about that healing could come, physical healing could come, you know, by casting out a demon at first. And then I read that, and then I saw that in Acts. And, you know, and it's like, yeah, you can't count anything out. And I know that, I mean, he healed all kinds of people that were demon-possessed, that were affected physically. But not like just a little sickness. I mean, they were like deaf, dumb, they were had... like epilepsy, you know, seizures, everything, you know. And how much of that today is affected by demonic presence? I mean, obviously it is today. If it was then, nothing's changed. In fact, it's worse because it's been left. It's been diagnosed as a physical thing and a medical thing and not a spiritual thing, you know. And so I was, and then the other thing is, the spirit man and the flesh man, you know, it's if you, the thing about Pablo was bringing, if you believe in Jesus, yeah, you know, that don't just happen and it's done, you know, when you're born again. I mean, that's what we have really been shown, I think, and seen. When you're born again, it doesn't just, you're in, tickets full, and you got it made, you know? No, believing is believing and believing and believing, because obviously we found out, if we didn't have all the truth, we can't be full believers in a sense. I mean, you can with what you have, but if you don't have that love for the truth, is that chosen? I think it is now. I think that's becoming much more clear. Yes, yes. A love for the truth is a heart that has been chosen. Yes. You know? And you know, in the last few months, some of the time, my desire for the truth there seems like it got kind of dull and whatever, and I've had to wake myself up again and say, no, Lord, I want to keep receiving truth. I need to receive truth if I'm going to live, you know. And you know, when Jesus said, eat my flesh, drink my blood, later he says, my word is spirit. He cried out in the temple, those of you who thirst, come and drink of me, for my word is spirit. So, the blood and the flesh, see, that's all talking about spirit. Receiving the spirit. His spirit, God's spirit, you know, the whole thing. And when people couldn't handle that, I had the thought. So when these Jews heard that, it says many left him and never walked with him. What kind of word do you think they were putting out after that? You think some false doctrine started coming into their whole gatherings? You know? So the same thing happened with the Gentiles. You know, even while Paul was preaching and different ones were ministering, they were already those who couldn't receive the truth and thought they had it and started setting up the doctrines of men, you know. And so comes about the Trinity and a lot of other things that have nothing to do with what God said, you know. So that's just a few of the things that came while, you know, being absent. God bless you, and I couldn't wait to get back last Sunday night.
I found this little piece of paper in my Bible when we first came into church. And after Pablo spoke and after Ken spoke, it was time that I spoke. It says, the brain and speaking in tongues. Dr. Carl Peterson of ORU, that's Oral Roberts University, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, is a brain specialist and was doing research on the relationship between the brain and praying in tongues. Some amazing things were discovered. Through the research and the testing, Dr. Peterson found that as we pray in the Spirit or worship in the Spirit, there is activity that begins in our brain. As we engage in our heavenly language, the brain releases two chemical secretions that are directed into our immune system, giving a 35 to 40% boost to our immune system. This promotes healing with our bodies. Amazingly, the secretion is triggered from part of the brain that has no other apparent activity in humans. It is only activated by our spirit-led prayer and worship. Truly, we are fearfully and wonderfully made and equipped for any obstacle that comes before us if we use our God-given weapons. Taken from the Godfrey Beacon, page 4, January 2001. I thought that was interesting.
When Pablo was testifying about the verse in Luke, I just wanted to let you know that there's some parts of the scriptures, you know, the Word of God, my Father's Word, that just drive me nuts. I don't get them, and this is one of them. It's Luke chapter 9 and verse 44. It's right after the incident that Pablo read. And it says, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. I don't see anything real hard about that, personally. The next verse says, verse 45, but they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. And my big problem is, why did he say it at all? And why was this saying hid from them? You know, who hid the saying from them? You know, was it God the Father? Is this like an inter-Trinitarian battle between two heads of the God? Or, you know, what's going on here? I don't understand. I just don't get it, you know. And whenever I hear this, you know, like maybe four or five times a day, I always ask the same thing. Are you gonna let me in on this or what? Are you just going to let me be stupid? I've heard this a zillion times, and almost every time I hear it, I ask you about it, and there's nothing. So what's up, you know? And I still don't understand it. And I ask him about it. I'm asking you, actually, if you have any revelation or if you want to straighten me out, please feel free to go ahead and do so. My testimony is I quit my job here about a week ago. It was a real demonic thing that happened at work one night. And I decided that I was going to do the smart thing and remove myself from the situation. So I did that. So I was going along, you know, looking for a job. I had applied with another temp service and set up an interview with them and everything. So, and they were going to send me to this electronics assembly place down in Altoona. It's about 5 or 6 miles from where I live. But it's right off the bike trail, so I figured, no problem, you know. It's still summer and I can do it. So I was all set to go and do that. And I was up at the library finishing my, well, I had to update my application to the temp service, you know, so I was doing that. And I started riding around Chippewa. I was going to go over to the food pantry, actually. I did, and they had a bunch of free yogurt, and I loaded up my backpack, you know. But then on my way home, I went by this dude's house that I used to work with out of Alliance Plastics, like, last year. I haven't seen the guy since, like, February or talked to him. And he's the Christian guy that used to give me a ride every day. And I rode by his house, and I looked up at his window, and I didn't see any lights on, shades rolled down, everything. And I thought about stopping, and I thought, nah, you know. I just kept biking. And all of a sudden, the weirdest thing happened. I heard Charlie's voice in my head, Charlie Schaefer, guy right over there. And he said, Tim, why don't you give him a call? And I kept biking, and I thought, wow, that's kind of weird, you know. Think I got the mind going a little bit too much here. We should probably concentrate on getting out of town without becoming road pizza. I didn't really think that much of it. I didn't, you know. So I biked home, and I was almost home on the bike trail, and I can't remember what I was thinking about, or if I was praying or not, you know, or what was going on. I just know I was almost home because I was hungry, and I heard Keith's voice in my head, and he said, Tim, why don't you give Gene a call? And I thought, okay, this is getting kind of weird, and I still didn't think anything of it, you know. Because I'm thinking, you know, I was thinking with my human mind, you know, if this were God and the Spirit, I mean, why would he use other guys' voices, you know? I don't get it, you know. I just don't get it. I'm pretty slow that way. Well, anyways, I get home, you know, and I'm all hungry, and I'm putting together this chicken ramen dish, you know, with wasabi, and I'm really looking forward to it. There's so many good things you can do with ramen. And I'm really getting into it. You know, I got the Word of God going on in the background and everything. I think I turned on the news, too, for a minute or so. And and then I heard my own voice in my head saying, Tim, give Gene a call. So I stopped. I dropped everything, and I said out loud, okay, if this is your voice, I'm not going to question it. I'm just going to haul off and do it. I wasn't sure. I really wasn't. But I just dropped everything I was doing. I picked up the phone. I called dude's number up. And boom, he answers the phone, you know. And we had a nice little conversation. I said, you know, are you still at Alliance Plastics? And he said, absolutely not, you know. And I said, well, good for you, you know, because they cheated me out of wages when I worked there. That's why I'm no longer there. But anyway, we had a nice little talk, you know, and I finally got around to asking him. I go, are you working anywhere right now? And he said, no, not really. I'm kind of between jobs, but, you know, I'm thinking I really need to work somewhere, you know, for a while anyway, because I need the money. And I said, yeah, I know what you're saying, you know. And he's like, well, you know, I can probably get back into GNC pretty easy. Do you want to take a ride down and maybe check it out? I'll give you a ride every day. It's about 7 miles that way to the north. And I worked there before, you know, last year. I think Keith was giving me a ride for a while. But it's not a bad bike ride. Again, it's right off the bike trail. But anyway, I said, okay, sure, why don't we do that, you know? And he goes, all right, well, give me a call tomorrow morning. I'll come down, pick you up, and we'll head over to Adeco and get signed up, you know? So I thought, okay. And we talked for a little bit. Well, there's another Bruce Lee movie coming out, and we both want to see it, you know? So we had a nice conversation. Well, anyway, the upshot is the next day I called him up, and oh yeah, I wanted to show him some swimming holes because he's an ex-Navy diver, you know, and he likes to swim, but there's no place around here to swim. He doesn't like the pool, blah blah blah. So I showed him the swimming holes. We went for a swim. It was a blast. And then we went down to a deco and we got signed up, and boom, I'm starting work Monday on the first shift at 7 a.m. You know. Full-time, supposed to be 40 hours a week, same wage, you know. But I have a ride every day with this guy. To me, that's a miracle, all right? And that's because I'm chosen, you know. I can recognize it. Your dream, Pablo, of the crappies, that was from God. You shouldn't doubt it. You know, if you're going to err, you should err on the side of faith is what I say. You really should. I mean, it's better to make a fool out of yourself or make a mistake or do something dumb or look like an idiot than it is to, you know, just be like Thomas and say, I'm not going to believe unless I can stick my hand in the holes in his hands and the holes in his side, you know. You don't want to be like that. If you're going to, you know, I think you got the right idea, and I'm telling you right now, I don't know if it's by the Spirit, but as your brother, that dream was from God and you should believe in it. Have faith and just believe. I was praying about getting another job, you know, and I was just going along through life like I do, you know, and all of a sudden I hear voices in my head, and they're not God, you know, it's not a voice out of heaven or an angel or anything, it's the voices of my brothers, it's my own voice. That to me is miraculous, you know. You could say, well, your mind was going and you were thinking too much and you had a long bike ride and you were hungry and blah, 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 you know. And you could cast doubt on it and you could say, well, okay, well, there's a 50% chance you would have called and then you wouldn't have called, and what would have happened if you wouldn't have called? You might have got a better wage down there, had been in better shape from biking and, you know, et cetera. I mean, there's a zillion ways you could go with this. I'm going to err on the side of faith, and I'm going to believe that my Father spoke to me in your voices, in my voice, and I chose to listen. There was, you know, there was room for doubt, and there's still room for doubt. I'm not going to go that way. I'm not going to doubt it at all, you know. And I can tell you my story, and you can doubt it if you want. I suggest you don't, really, because this is how it happens. You know, we're in a great place right now. You know why that happened to me? Because I'm in the habit of listening. You know, and it almost didn't happen because I was hungry and human voices were in my head. You know? Really. I mean, there was another thing that bugged me too, you know. When I first heard Charlie say, you know, go ahead, Tim, give him a call. And I thought about Gene. You know, Gene's a born-again Christian. He's only been born again, and I don't know if he's spirit-filled or not. I think he is. But he's only been in that state for like the past 3 or 4 years, all right? So he hasn't been in the way for, you know, a long time. And I don't want to mess the guy up, you know. When I rode with him, I didn't tell him I was a Christian. I didn't say anything about my Christian experience to him. And why? Because I wasn't told to. At least I didn't hear it. And if I did, I chose to ignore it. And shame on me, you know. But I thought, you know, I don't want to be responsible for this guy. And I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to mess with his spirituality, laying my whole Christian experience in on him and then telling him about the Word of God, and you should think like I do, brother, because it's the only way and you're going to make it, and et cetera, et cetera. I don't want to mess him up, you know. I like the guy. I do. I don't know. I'm not looking to disciple anybody or teach anybody or anything like that, you know. I just looked at it like I don't want to be responsible for him, you know. He's a nice guy, and he would make an excellent friend for anybody, you know. But I just don't feel like being his friend because of what's going on with me in the spirit. You know, what do you do with most of your time? I mean, what's important? What are you into, Tim? Well, I sit around and listen to the CD player for hours on end to the Word of God, you know. Oh, and I pray, you know, and I work out. But, you know, basically I'm into listening right now, and that's all I do. You know, that's my life. I don't really feel like telling them that. I will if I'm told to. I will if I'm told to, all right? If I'm supposed to be responsible and disciple them or whatever, then I'll do that, all right? I'm just saying, we need to be sensitive to listen to his voice. And we need to be willing to, you know, put our faith and step out in faith and say, all right, I don't have proof either way that this is a good thing or this is a bad thing, but I heard a voice, and I'm going to choose to believe it, and I'm going to choose to obey it. You know, he gave me three chances that day, man. I should have stopped when I heard Charlie. I was on the bike trail. I should have stopped when I heard Keith. I don't hear your guys' voices in my head all the time, by the way. I'm not weird that way, you know. My mind goes kind of funny sometimes, like everybody else's does. But I don't hear everybody else's voice inside my head like that very often, anyway. Maybe in dreams. I don't know. I can't remember my dreams mostly. But what I'm saying is that this is how God is dealing with us right now. And he's not only is he dealing with us this way, he's offering us an opportunity. And he's leaving it up to us to make the right choice, the smart choice, like Pablo was saying, and to have faith. You know, I called that dude, and why? Oh, because I heard some voices in my head. I was listening. That's good, you know. I called him because I didn't have proof. I didn't know for sure I was being told to call him. I had three promptings, and I decided to go with it, you know. I could have just as easily decided to continue on with my chicken wasabi ramen and really enjoy myself and forget the phone call, you know. And I don't know what would have happened then. But I'm sure glad I went. I mean, I'm sure glad I went and did it because now I got me a job and a ride with a nice guy. I mean, that's a total win-win for me, you know. So, I mean, you don't think it's miraculous? I think it's miraculous. And I think that's the way God's dealing with us. And I think we better be ready for it, you know, for more of that. I mean, there's always, when he tells you to do something, there's probably always going to be a question. Did I hear that right? Was that your voice? I mean, am I doing the right thing? And that's where what Pablo was talking about comes in. And that's called faith. That's called, I believe. That's like, I don't see how if obeying this is going to really help the cause or do anything for anybody, but I'm just going to do it because that's what I believe my Father's telling me to do. You know, that's the attitude that he's trying to cultivate in us. And he sees that we're worth doing that because we're listening. You know, we're in the habit of listening. That's what we do. And that's good. That is really good. Being trained to listen to him like that, I mean, that's just exceptional, I think. And it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my life, really. I mean, he's not doing far-flung miracles where he's healing sick and casting out demons and raising the dead, you know. He's dealing with me right where I'm at in my little life, in my little doghouse down the road. And he knows I have need of a job and I need to make money to pay my rent and so forth and so on, you know. That's where I live. That's what I do. And so he comes right down and, you know, there we are. I mean, I don't know. I feel totally blessed by this. I mean, you can call it a coincidence or whatever you want. I'm calling it the move of God, you know, because pretty soon he is going to tell you to start, you know, raising the dead, casting out demons, pray for that sick person. You know, this person's got a tumor. Well, Ken, you want a burden? You know, here it is. Are you ready for it? Are you going to believe? You can doubt it if you want. I don't think you should, brother. I think you should go with it. I think you should just receive it. Just say, I receive everything that you have for me, Father, in Jesus' name right now. You know, by your Spirit. I mean, just go for it, really. It, like I said, it's better to make a mistake and screw up on the side of I believe God than it is to not believe God and just forget it and say, it's all a bunch of all we, you know. There's one more thing I wanted to say, and this was the thing that the Spirit said to me to say. I heard God's voice as your voices. I heard God speak to me with our voices. You really need to chew on that for a while.
Thank you, Lord. Jeans had wanted to make it today. I don't know if you had heard. She took a fall here this week and did some damage to bones in her vertebrae. And she's moving around very gingerly. She appreciated, by the way, you and Keith and Joanne's coming and praying with her here this week. Keith said it was going to be a quick healing, and she took that. So, but anyway, service has been good today. Keith was referring to people that insist that the title pastor be put in front of their name, you know. And the scripture occurred to me that where Jesus says they've had their reward, had their reward. And, oh, I don't want to have had my reward. That's not what I, that's not what I want. I want my reward to be up ahead of me, not something I already got. No. What a terrible thing to have Jesus tell you, you had your reward. So. Pablo was talking about the people that, you know, yeah, Jesus performed a lot of miracles. But then he was expressing truth, expressing God's word. And my own mind gets going at the same time as Pablo's talking. And Pablo said the difference was, they didn't have faith. And yeah, surely that's true. But the thing that was on my mind was the place in John, the Gospel of John, when he's talking to Pilate. And let me read it. Let me read it to you. It says, to this end I was born, to this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. And it made me wonder, what is that the same thing as having faith, being of the truth? You know, I don't just know. Right offhand, I wouldn't have thought so, but maybe. But that whole notion of being of the truth has, that's the thing that's kind of grabbed me here recently. And Pablo raises it as being faith. And I couldn't tell Pablo he's wrong. No, he's not wrong about that. But are they the same way of expressing different ways of expressing the same thing? I'm not quite sure, but maybe. I don't know.
I'd just throw that out.
Tim was saying, well, when in doubt, just go with it. You know? And yeah, I think that is, that's right. Go with it. But I do know that I don't know, 1840s or sometime, there was a minister, I think he had the name of Miller. Perhaps I'm wrong, but a minister that had a following. And he prophesied that the Lord was coming on a designated day, you know, at midnight. I'll just throw up. I don't know what the date was, but let's say July 1st, 1843. And all of his followers were to go up on a hill where the Lord was going to come. And there and be taken up to heaven there on noon or whatever on July 1st of 1843. And he had a whole bunch of people that came up on that hill. And Lord didn't come. And slowly they kind of trickled off the hill. I don't know. Maybe there's no great harm in that. Maybe that's okay. You know? Maybe that's okay. They sure look kind of foolish, but maybe that didn't do them one lick of harm at all. You know?
But, I don't know. I guess the big thing is discernment. Any event that involves my voice is being somehow synonymous with God, I have a few doubts about, but no. Maybe not Keith, but no, I'm giving you a hard time. I think more mistakes get made of the Thomas variety than the fanatical, I suppose. Although, you know, there are fanatics out there. They thrive with the prophecies. What they're all about is prophecy as opposed to God. Ooh, you don't want that. Ooh, you want your reward to be Him, not some kind of charged up and prophetic word. So anyway, it's a tough kind of balance. Knowing Him surely is the secret, though. Knowing Him. I want to throw some thoughts at you really fast. There's a scripture in, I think it's in Isaiah, where it says, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Wait a minute. We have just, through that scripture verse, we have determined the most powerful substance that exists. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Ephesians 6:17, it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So is there any other substance more powerful than the Word of God? Are you following what I'm saying? The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And so, it says in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What is the weapons of our warfare? Are we starting to recognize it? The most powerful weapon that you can ever have in your hands is this right here. And the vision that Twyla had 30-some years ago showed me standing at the back of the church with a sword. Guess what it says in Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We don't know what this is as yet that God has given us access to. If my word is in you and abides, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. There's one thing that the devil hates above all else. You know what it is? The Word of God. By that word, you take this word into your system, you let it come in. You know what it'll do? It will cleanse you of the demonic forces and everything else that needs to be out of your life. It washes by the water of the word. The word of God is the substance that will do everything that you need done. Mm-hmm. It is a complete substance. But it's only complete when it's the truth. So that's why we have to receive a love for the truth. Jesus said, sanctify them. Here's what he said. Okay, let's receive a love for the truth. Jesus said, praying in John 17, he says, sanctify them through your truth. Not Pilate's truth. Not somebody else's truth. He says, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth, but it has to be the word of truth. It can't be just somebody making it up. Do you follow what I'm saying? So anyway, I just had to throw that in.
You know, that example that Charlie gave, I don't know if you remember it, but I experienced that in this church around 2000. Yeah, we thought for sure, I thought because of what I was being taught or shown that the Lord was coming. And I look back and, you know, I kind of made a fool of myself with my family, my kids especially, because I was telling them things that, boy, you know, this is it. This is going to be it. This is, well, you know what? I don't regret that. You know, I looked foolish, but I don't regret it. I looked foolish believing all the way into the move for a long time because in my heart, I thought it was of God. And that's how I was acting. Now,
was I deceived in areas?
Yes. But my heart was that it was God. And so them have been really good lessons. Because now, and along with what Keith said, and I totally agree, the sword of the Spirit is the word. It is the most powerful thing there is. But why is there to be the full armor to go along with the Spirit? See, and all of a sudden I was sitting there and I'm thinking, yes, see, now, maybe why, you know, you're not going to just throw that sword at your friend because maybe we haven't developed the full armor yet, you know, that actually is to protect us when we wield that sword. I mean, I'm just throwing that out. Is that a possibility, you know? Because otherwise it wouldn't have it there. You know, and there's things in there like it says, be shod with the gospel of peace. See, I've used the word in times and it didn't bring peace. Well, and it says it can bring division in the last days. But you know what I'm saying? The way I used it, it created more probably havoc than it did peace, you know, because I was just saying it wrong at the wrong time and probably putting my flesh into it. You know, so all of those things, you know what this word has done is it's made me feel I have become a lot more sensitive to what Keith says, to hear it from God when I'm supposed to do or speak, you know. And I have the faith that that's going to happen, and there's been times it has, and I knew it. But to wait isn't lack of faith necessarily. It's just wanting to be led by the Spirit, you know, not go out and lead myself doing it, you know. So it's become obvious that this word has made us way more sensitive to things, you know, about how we present ourselves as God's people, you know. And so, I believe that things that were said in that book, and we've been bringing it, saying, yes, I want to get to the place where when they hear me, see me, who do they see? Not me. Christ and the Father. And, you know, I read a scripture this morning I came across, and it was in John 6:27, I think. And it says, Jesus said, I'm probably not going to remember it exact. Just a minute. I'm just going to grab it. And I was, you know, and it was having to do with what I'd said about, you know, the Gentiles, how they decided they could change the Godhead, you know, when they're the ones that are being grafted in. As the living, John 6:57, as the living Father sent me, and here's the thing, I mean, it's, and I live
because of the Father. That's pretty, I mean, that just, what do you say to that? As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. You know, so, and I'm not going to comment anymore on it. That's just, you know. And maybe you got to read that 150 times before the truth settles in. You know, fine. You know, I mean, we've all been doing that. Read scripture, read scripture, read scripture. Why does it all of a sudden say this today? You know? And you know, and according to what you were talking about, Tim, in Luke 9, isn't that where it's at? God hadn't revealed it to him. He just hadn't let him see it. That happened a lot. And it's been happening to us. I never saw that. 6 months later, do you know what I just saw? It just jumped out of the Bible at me. You know? So, it's because what was said right in the beginning. God does what God wants to do when He wants to do it, and God does all things, and is responsible for all things in this world and this universe that He created. Amen.
Tim was saying, why did you say something if the disciples didn't understand it? And they didn't understand it then, but they later saw it. One of the writers of one of the Gospels, he says, and he opened up the scriptures to them.
Yeah.
So it's just... just like prophecies, you know, prophecies are for us to see, but then when they happen, then we point back, oh, that was a prophecy. I don't think you can accurately tell exactly how it's going to happen until it happens. Anyways, I forgot to read. I had it written down, and for some reason I forgot to read it. It's in Hebrews. Anyway, he says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us, as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So, there's faith. I don't know. Anyways, this is a totally different subject. Totally different subject. And I have much to say about it, really. You know, is there anyone of you suffering? Pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray for them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Anyways, now this: confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. You know, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Confess your trespasses to one another. I don't know. How about not yet? How about later? You know what I mean? That's a hard one. Because, I mean, if you call somebody fool for no reason, that's murder. You know, so I don't know. Confess your trespasses to one another. Is it really there? That's all.
The receiving a love for the truth, as I'm listening here, all of a sudden it hit me. That is the key. That's the key. And when we're talking about this the full armor in Ephesians 6, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, having your loins girt about with the girdle of truth, your feet shod with the gospel of peace. You know that every one of those things has to do with receiving a love for the truth. Otherwise, the salvation that a lot of people preach isn't even in the scriptures. The righteousness that people hang on to is a false righteousness. It's a self-righteousness. That's not in the scriptures. The girdle of truth. Truth changes according to every pilot that comes along. And the gospel of peace. Anyways. God bless you. Let's come up to the front. Or we can keep going till next Sunday.